Sometimes when we are faced with a mystery or unanswered questions, we tell stories to try to fill in the gaps and make some sense of what's before us. Here is a nice story. One sunny day, Johann Sebastian Bach walked with his wife, Maria Barbara, to the lovely little church in Dornheim, carrying his latest composition, a cantata, Der Herr denken an uns. The church where he was to perform his latest piece was familiar territory, as it was there where he had married Maria Barbara 6 months earlier. Their marriage was solemnized by a friend of the family, Johann Lawrence Stauber, and today it was Stauber's turn to get married. As a wedding present, Bach composed a new cantata, for which he had carefully selected the text, possibly along with Stauber himself. It comprises 4 verses from Psalm 115, in which the word bless plays an important role. This provided Bach with some nice musical possibilities. The words were also very apt. The house of Aaron refers to the fact that it concerns a clergyman. Both spouses were blessed, as well as their children, as it was not Stauber's first marriage, his first wife having died the previous year. Like the text, the cantata is brief and to the point. Without recitatives, it almost appears to be a 17th century piece in the style of Schütz. But in the central aria for soprano, Bach reverts to a modern technique from Italian opera, the da capo aria, in which the first section of the piece is repeated at the end. The powerful final movement leads up to a closing amen, in which the 4 voices tumble over one another in their enthusiasm. The idea that this cantata was written for Stauber's wedding was first put forward over 100 years ago by the musicologist Philipp Spitta, because it is such a nice story. It's often adopted without question. Nevertheless, opinions vary. Although the words do fit a wedding service nicely, they would be an even better match for a more general service of Thanksgiving. The music clearly dates from the period before Bach became cantor in Leipzig, but a more precise dating is impossible, as there is no surviving score from that period. So we will never know whether the premiere of the piece really took place in Dornheim, but it remains a lovely story nevertheless. That nice story, told by a member of the Netherlands Bach Society to prepare listeners for the group's performance of the cantata, The Lord is Mindful of Us. And what next? More mystery? More gaps? Michael Talbot tells us in his notes for a Hyperion recording of the Dixit Dominus of Antonio Vivaldi that it was until the late 1960s when the only setting of the psalm Dixit Dominus by Vivaldi was known to exist. And it was a splendid one for double choir. In fact, we're hearing this version here. Then, unexpectedly, a second setting, similarly large in scale, but this time for a single choir. And it was discovered in the National Library in Prague. The history of its manuscript, which survives as a set of locally copied separate parts, is complex and enigmatic. This new Dixit Dominus, Riom Listing 595, was almost certainly composed for the Pietà before 1717 and may have been among the works taken back to Bohemia by Balthasar Knapp. The manuscript is dated 1738. A note in the second violin part connects the work with the Jesuit Seminary of St. Francis Xavier in Prague's New Town. After the Jesuit order was suppressed throughout Bohemia in 1773, the manuscript passed to the Military Order of the Knights of the Cross, whose church in Prague held a vast stock of sacred works by Vivaldi and his Italian contemporaries. As they say on TV, but wait, there's more. Vivaldi actually traveled to Prague, and some scholars describe it as a mystery visit. They don't really know why Vivaldi and his father traveled to the city in the spring of 1730. One thing that does seem to be clear, Vivaldi's most enduring link to Prague was his relationship with Count Wenzel von Mortzin. And Vivaldi dedicated his most famous collection, which contains the Four Seasons, to Count Mortzin in 1725. Certainly, what matters for us in all of this is not the gaps, not the mysteries, but of course, the music itself. And these two pieces, Bach's Cantata 196 and Vivaldi's Dixit Dominus, will be featured as part of the 39th annual Northeastern Pennsylvania Bach Festival presented by the Arcadia Chorale. Matthew Rupsich, the ensemble's music director, writes informative and engaging program notes to prepare listeners for the works they'll be hearing. And he also tells intriguing stories about the music when he visits the WVIA studios to fill us in on what is in store.
The Arcadia Chorale is comprised of about 20 to 24 singers. These are singers who are very much interested in performing choral music at a very high level. And we rehearse weekly, and we have a full season throughout the year from September through June. And right now we're getting ready for our 39th annual NEPA, Northeast Pennsylvania Bach Festival. As mentioned, this has been going around for 39 years, and this is a wonderful festival where we have three concerts within the weekend of 21st and 22nd. We have an organ recital. We also have a chamber music concert. And we also have the choral performance, the chorale performance, on Sunday afternoon.
And in doing so, you are honoring all the remarkable work in different categories in which Bach excelled.
Exactly. We're able to celebrate and bring to our audience that variety that you mentioned. And what's interesting, and even within those, let's say, the organ recital or the chamber music concert, there are different forms of music of Bach's that we're doing. So it's quite layered.
And you have an ensemble of people who join you each year. And also, though, you bring in guest organists, for example. So it's a mix.
Absolutely. I'm lucky that the chorale has been around for a while, and we have some longstanding members, and we have members who have been there for, we'll say, decades or even just a short time of maybe 10, 15 years. But we also have new singers coming in throughout the area. And I do welcome new singers coming in. So if you're interested in auditioning, you know, check out our website. But connected to that, especially for the choral concert and the chamber music concert, we have local musicians that join us, and we have had longstanding relationships with them, fabulous players, and they contribute a lot to the success of the festival. And we also have invited, as you mentioned, guest organists for the Saturday performance at Elm Park United Methodist Church at 4 p.m. And this year we invited James Wetzel to perform with us. James is the director of music and organist at the parish of St. Vincent Ferrer and St. Catherine of Siena on Manhattan's Upper East Side. This is a post he's held for 2016. Our paths crossed when he was also an adjunct lecturer at Hunter College at the same time I was. So we were able to meet then and collaborate on some different projects. Actually, and I think we did the Durifle Requiem together at that time. James is a special organist. He's very talented. He has played organ in continuo with the Berkshire Choral Festival, the Collegiate Chorale, Orchestra of St. Luke's, the American Symphony, and so on. I could go on. And he's also a recitalist that has played in numerous ensembles on the East Coast. He has a performance degree in organ from Juilliard when he was under the tutelage of Paul Jacobs. And then he is actually the first person that graduated with a master's degree and a professional studies certificate in choral conducting from the Manhattan School of Music, studying with Kent Tridle in New York City. So we're lucky to have James come and join us. He's doing a wonderful program of Bach as well as Mozart, which is interesting, and also Camille Saint-Saëns. He's doing a wonderful program, and that'll be again at 4 p.m. on the Saturday afternoon part of the festival.
And that's a gift to the community.
Yes, it is. It is a free concert, and we do accept donations, but we invite all to come. I'm glad we're able to offer it for free.
And then Tom Hines is a name that comes up so often when we speak about the Bach Festival, and he's with you again.
Exactly. Tom Hines is a wonderful gentleman, great friend, and a wonderful oboe player. And we're lucky that he is the artistic director for the Chamber Music Concert. He works with his colleagues who are part of the Arcadia Festival Orchestra. And so he works with them to create a program for the Saturday evening concert for chamber music at Covenant. This year, he has a program of Wolf Ferrari. He has a program of Rheinberger and Bach, as well as Dvorak. So it's a wide spectrum.
What Bach has he chosen?
Yes. So they are performing a sonata in E-flat major, BWV 1031. This is a sonata for flute and harpsichord. And this is going to be played by Eduardo, who's a flautist in the area. And he'll be accompanied by Tsukasa Walchich on harpsichord, who is also the accompanist for Arcadia Chorale. And this is one of Bach's sonatas that comes from a collection of a composition called Sonata, basically mean sound piece. These pieces were conceived during the Baroque period. And there are two types of, I'll say, instrumentation that Bach liked to use. He would do sonatas with multi-instruments, which would include a continuo, or just a solo instrument accompanied by a keyboard alone. And that's what's happening with this piece, the Sonata in E-flat with Ed and Tsukasa. I'd like to also highlight the Terzetto in C major, Opus 74, by Antonin Dvorak. This is going to be played by our concertmaster for the Arcadia Festival Orchestra for the choral concert. Peggy McAdams will be playing violin, and she will be playing with Miho Matsuno and also Harold Levin, who is a violist. So they are combining and doing this terzetto, and this piece is just a wonderful piece attributed to Dvorak. You know, he is mostly known for writing giant symphonies that he has, but he also wrote these chamber pieces, and this is a four-movement work very much in the style of Dvorak, where he, I'll say, steals or exploits harmonies and rhythms from Czech folk music. So the choral concert is obviously what the Arcadia Chorale works very hard towards, is on Sunday, March 22, at Covenant Presbyterian Church at 3 p.m. And this concert is coming together beautifully. I always call an extra Saturday rehearsal, and we had that this past weekend. And it's an opportunity where, in many ways, the stresses of work are away from us from an evening rehearsal. We may be getting more rest because we could sleep in on a Saturday. And so we have a rehearsal. It was a very fine rehearsal. I'm very excited about how the chorale is singing, how they are interpreting the pieces that we're working on, and the overall sound that they produce is quite moving. So I'm very excited about that. And as I was planning for this concert a year ago, I was trying to think if there's anything I have not done with the chorale. And I immediately thought that I should do some Vivaldi. I haven't done Vivaldi with the chorale. So I looked up some pieces, and we're going to be doing a piece, Dixit Dominus, RV 595, that Vivaldi composed. And this is a large work. It's based on a psalm text. It'll be accompanied by the Arcadia Festival Orchestra. And it's a multi-movement work. It involves having some solos, small duets, and trios in the piece, as well as a full complement of all the parties playing together. As many know, Vivaldi, his musical life was centered in Venice at the Ospedale della Pietà, which is a charitable home and school in Venice that cared for orphan girls. And at the age of 25, he was appointed a violin teacher there. And the Pietà had an extraordinary musical program. It's all attributed to Vivaldi spending many years writing music for these young girls. This piece, the Dixit Dominus, is a dramatic, exciting work, and it's a setting of one of the psalms. So I had to think of ways to complement the program if I wanted to do the Vivaldi. I decided to do a small Bach cantata, which I'll talk about, and I also decided to do some Schubert Lieder, which are songs. Franz Schubert wrote over 600 songs, Lieder, and it was a huge catalog of music. He also wrote symphonies, chamber music, operas, piano works, etc., including 6 Latin mass settings. Interesting, those Latin mass settings are not considered liturgical works. They are concert settings. And I may consider something like that in the future for Arcadia. I sung many of those when I was at my alma mater at Peabody. But what's beautiful about these Schubert pieces is they have been arranged for chorus, for SATB chorus, which is rare. We're doing the beloved An die Musik by Schubert. We're doing also Romance. And we're also doing Städtchen from Schwanengesang, which is a song cycle. And that is going to be sung only by the tenors and basses of the chorale. And then we end that section with Die Forelle, which many people know, which I'll talk about in a second. But I'd like to start with An die Musik. This is a beautiful work that, with an incredible setting of this text, that is an ode to art, a homage to art, a taking time to express one's appreciation for art. And some musicians may describe it as a prayer for music. The conductor, Benjamin Zander, describes, I think, the piece beautifully. He describes it as, "This is a prayer for all human beings, thanking music. Your voice has to take on the spiritual intensity for all mankind." So it's lovely. That puts a different mindset, I will say, with the piece and on sort of reverence to the work. And I'm opening up the choral program on Sunday afternoon with An die Musik. We move to another work, Romance. Romance is a gorgeous piece. This is a serenade. Schubert wrote it in 1823 for a play. For a play, Rosamunde, as incidental music, and it was also orchestrated for soprano and orchestra. It became quite popular. As probably many know, Schubert's theatrical works really faded. They weren't quite successful, but the individual songs from some of those theatrical works survived, and Romance is one of them. This is a beautiful, tender piece. It's a very warm, and it also expresses the heart of so much that is embedded in Schubert's music. And we end this section with Die Forelle. Die Forelle is known as the trout, about the fish. And Schubert composed this when he was only 21 years old. The text comes from the poet Christian Daniel Schubart, written in 1792. Basically, the poem tells about a lovely trout swimming through a clear stream until, unfortunately, a fisherman catches it. It's fun. It's light. It's joyous. It's jocular in its how it's written. And interesting enough, The melody of this song was so popular that Schubert used it for other things, like many composers do. And he used this for the basis of a movement for the piano quintet in A major that he composed in 1819, now known as the Trout Quintet. So that's kind of fun. And so we end that program of the Schubert Lieder with Die Forelle. And that piece is particularly sung by the sopranos and altos of the chorale. We end the second half of the first part of the program with a small Bach cantata, Der Herr denken an uns. It's BWV 196. It's a short cantata, but very rich in color and style and wonderful arrangements of opportunities for the chorus as well as solos. There's only two movements for the chorus, and then there's a movement for a soprano solo, which is sung by Rebecca Elfman. And then there's a duet. There's a male duet, tenor and bass duet, that's actually quite popular and is sung outside of the chorale by many, many singers, called Der Herr segne euch. And that's going to be sung by Patrick Fisk, who is a tenor, and also Paul Doherty. This cantata is considered a wedding cantata. Bach wrote it for Regina Wedemann, which is the aunt of Bach's first wife, Maria Barbara Bach, and the performance is believed to take place, first performance, in 1708, and for the wedding of a widow. Interesting enough, with this cantata, there are no signed autographs in Bach's hand that this is his. However, Bach scholars believe that his copyist that he worked closely with, Johann Ludwig Dietl, there are copies with his signature on it. So it is strongly believed that this is Bach's work because of a Dietl doing most of the copy editing for Bach. So we finished the first half with the Bach cantata. So it's a wonderful, nice program. The first half is Schubert, and then we jump to Bach, an intermission, and then we close the program with the Dixit Dominus, the Vivaldi. It's going to be a lovely program.
I know how happy you always are to be able to feature the singers in solo roles from the Arcadia Chorale.
Exactly. You know, I mentioned a couple already, Rebecca, Patrick, and Paul, but there are others as well who have opportunities as solo moments. Meredith Hudak, a mezzo-soprano, will be singing. Evelyn Munley, an alto, will be part of a trio. And we also have Jacob Kerbal, who's a bass, will be joining us. So it's wonderful. We have six singers being highlighted as soloists and or participating in a small ensemble in this program. And I really am proud that we can lift those singers up and have opportunities for them doing solo work.
Does anyone, Vivaldi or Bach, trumpets, are there strong, festive and or powerful instrumental moments in these pieces?
Absolutely. The Bach cantata is only for strings. It's set for only strings, but I will have a full orchestra for the Vivaldi. So we have strings, we have two oboes, and also trumpet, as you mentioned. So it's a very celebratory piece. It's a very grand piece, and it's a wonderful way to end the program.
Again, review place, dates, times, because there are three that we need to juggle, and your website.
Exactly. So the first concert for the Arcadia Northeast Pennsylvania Bach Festival is the organ concert, and that is on Saturday, March 21 at 4 p.m. And this is at Elm Park United Methodist Church, and it's a free concert. The second program for the festival is that evening with the chamber music concert. And these players, again, are coming from the festival orchestra, the Arcadia Chorale Festival Orchestra, and they will be coming together in small ensembles for the chamber music concert, which is held that same evening, which is Saturday, March 21st at 7:30 p.m. And that is at Covenant Presbyterian Church. And it's a wonderful, intimate program. And then the final concert of the festival is the chorale concert, which is on Sunday, March 22nd at 3 p.m. at Covenant Presbyterian Church with a full orchestra. If you need more information about the festival, you could check out our webpage, arcadiachorale.org, and also you could find us on the social media platforms as well.
Matthew Rupsich, music director and conductor of the Arcadia Chorale. The Chorale will hold its 39th annual Northeastern Pennsylvania Bach Festival Saturday, March 21st and Sunday, March 22nd with three concerts, an organ recital with guest performer James Wetzel, and that's Saturday, March 21st at 4 in the afternoon at Elm Park United Methodist Church, Linden Street in Scranton, and there is no admission fee, but they'd happily accept a donation. Chamber music concert with members from the Arcadia Festival Orchestra is that night, Saturday, March 21st at 7:30 p.m., and the venue is different at Covenant Presbyterian Church, 550 Madison Avenue in Scranton. And then the Arcadia Chorale concert with music of Schubert, Vivaldi, and Bach takes place Sunday, March 22nd at 3 in the afternoon at Covenant Presbyterian Church. For more information on the web, arcadiachorale.org, arcadiachorale.org. You can hear the German Lieder by Franz Schubert, the Dixit Dominus Reom 595 of Antonio Vivaldi, and the Cantata 196 by Bach on the Arcadia Chorale concert Sunday at 3, March 22nd. The organ recital with James Wetzel on the 21st, Saturday, at 4 in the afternoon at Elm Park. A program of Bach, including the St. Anne, Prelude and Fugue in E-flat major, St. Anne, a trio sonata, O Mensch, Bewein, Danzinde, Gross, 622, as well as Mozart, the Fantasy in F minor, and Saint-Saëns' Prelude and Fugue in E-flat major. And then musicians from the Arcadia Festival Orchestra will present a chamber music concert Saturday evening at 7:30 at Covenant Presbyterian Church, a trio, string trio by Armano Wolf-Ferrari, four quartets by Josef Reinberger, and a sonata in E-flat major, BWV 1031 of Bach, flute sonata, and Dvorak's Terzetto in C major, opus 74. A lot to take in, so check the website. It's arcadiachorale.org, arcadiachorale.org. They are very generous in offering WVIA members a discount, and also they want students to attend, so students are free. arcadiachorale.org.